Lord Jesus, we just come to you today. And Father, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the book of Haggai. And Lord Jesus, sometimes as we read some of your word, Father, we just wonder sometimes, why did you put it in there? Why is it here? And Lord Jesus, we know that you want to speak to us through your whole word. And so God, we know that the book of Haggai is there for a reason. God, you want to speak to us through it 2,500 years after it was written. And Lord Jesus, I pray that this morning, God, that you would just open our hearts, that you'd open our ears. Because Lord, this morning, we want to hear what you have to say. God, would you open our hearts that we would allow you to challenge us, that we'd allow you to convict us, God. And Lord Jesus, I pray that as you speak to us, as you point things into our lives, Lord, that we would have courage to walk those things out, God, that you've called us and spoken us to. So Lord, we're here because we believe you want to speak to us. So we just look forward to hearing what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever woken up and looked at your life and asked the question, is this it? I kind of expected more. I really didn't think that this maybe would be my life. Maybe you said, I'm kind of surprised where I am. I thought maybe that there might be more. I thought things would be better. And this doesn't just specifically deal with people maybe who are retiring and looking back over their lives. This can be really with younger people too. You know, you might be in college and you think, man, I thought I'd know what I wanted to do with my life. But you haven't got a clue. Or I thought that maybe I'd be married by now. Or maybe you went to college and for something specific and you couldn't find work in that area, and so you're in this job and you're making money, but really feeling like, is this it? And I know lots of people I've spoken with, immigrants that have come from other countries. And they've come to Canada hoping to find work, and maybe in their field or a field like it. And they had great jobs back home, doctors and airline pilots. But they can hardly find work here. And I'm sure at times they ask themselves, is this why I came to Canada? Or maybe you got married and you thought it was going to just be wonderful. And your marriage didn't turn out like you hoped it would be. It wasn't that magical ride into the castle with your Prince Charming like Disney likes to project it might be. It seemed more about work and paying bills and friction. And so you think, well, I know what would solve the problem. Let's have some children. I take it you have kids. All those that have children laugh, yes. But now you have kids and you're just tired and broke as well. And so in a way, this is kind of the feeling that Israel, at the time when the book of Haggai was written, this is kind of how they were feeling. And so before we jump into our message this morning, before we really engage Haggai, I want to give you a little bit of backstory of what's happening at this time in Israel's history, which I think will help us understand the book better, but it'll also help us understand how we can apply it to our lives better as well. A long, long, long time ago, there was this wise king of Israel. And some have said that he was the wisest man that ever lived. His name was Solomon, King Solomon. He wrote some books in the Bible, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. And when he became king, in the fourth year of King Solomon's reign, he started construction on one of the most amazing structures of its time. He started to construct the temple for God, and it was glorious. And people came from all over the known world just to see it. And after King Solomon had died, the people of Israel, they turned away from God, We've seen that. It's no surprise to us. You know, late May, I shared a message from the book of Judges on Ehud and Eglon and how the people of Israel had turned away from God. And Luke, a couple of weeks ago, he talked about when the Israelites had just come across the Red Sea and saw the power of God firsthand. And Moses left for a little longer than that they were comfortable with, and then bam, they turned to idols right away. And so we see this as a trend of Israel. But God does not just let these people go. I love that about God. They continue to turn away from him, but he continues to hold on to them as his people. Time and time again, they turn away, but he continues to hold on. He's faithful even when we're not. And so he allows the Babylonians to come in and to take them over. And in 587 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar and his army crushed the southern kingdom of Judah. After about a year and a half siege, they take Jerusalem. And in the process of taking Jerusalem, they destroy the temple. They destroy that glorious temple that Solomon had built so many years ago. That place where God dwelt. And in a way, they stole Israel's spiritual identity. And then they took the people captive for decades. For 50 years after the temple had been destroyed, they were held captive. They couldn't live how they wanted anymore. They weren't in charge anymore. Imagine if our country was taken over by some culture that's completely different from ours. It changed everything. The freedoms you were used to are no longer yours. And what was acceptable once is no longer acceptable. There would have been kids that were born into this captive lifestyle. And their only knowledge of life would have been captivity. This was a big deal. This isn't just a change of prime minister. This is a whole new life. And the Babylonians came in and they marched them off to a whole new land. And you read of some of the challenges that they faced in the book of Daniel. This was not an easy time for them. They were stripped of everything that they knew. This was their never-ending sort of nightmare. And I'm sure that as they sat around after a long day's work, the older ones would have shared stories of the good old days. And I bet you they wondered, will we ever return? And you can imagine how excited they were when in 538 BC, they send 50,000 of them to go back to Israel and to begin the process of rebuilding in Jerusalem. Finally, after five decades, we're allowed to go back and build a place, a temple for our God. And the joy and the excitement, the anticipation. And finally, it's here, 50 years after we've been taken away, 50 years after our temple was destroyed. This was what set them apart from all the other nations. This was their kind of distinctive, was their God. Their God was their distinctive. And in a lot of ways, he was their identity. And now they were allowed to go back and begin the process of rebuilding the temple. In a way, begin the process of reclaiming who they were. And so off they go, and they get there, and they begin the long process, because they didn't have like nice cranes like we have to lift everything and do a bunch of work. So they begin this long process of rebuilding such an amazing structure. And they work on the foundation, and they get the foundation cut. And then they move to the altar, and they finish that. And then the Samaritans come in, and they begin to cause problems for them. They started to hinder the work, all that they were trying to do. If you've ever tried to add on to your house, and you've tried to get permits from the city, you may identify with the Israelites. Feel like you're trying to stop you at every turn. And so for Israel, what was going along great came to a screeching halt. The Samaritans were holding things up, making life really hard for them. Things started to get really difficult for them. And so instead of pushing through, they stopped. They gave up. And they said, I guess this just isn't the right time. And so for 14 years, these people didn't work on the temple. For 14 years, they left the temple unfinished. For five decades, that's all they could think about, dream about, pray about. That's what they held on to. One day we're going to rebuild the temple. And now it gets hard. And so they stop. They stop working on God's house. And instead, they now start to build their own houses. They forgot about God's house and built some very nice houses instead for themselves. And so God calls in the prophet Haggai to bring a message to his people, to call them back, to carry on rebuilding the temple, to re-engage why they were there in the first place. And so that was the backstory. And now enters Haggai. And we begin reading in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2. It says this: "This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house." I love how God starts this message with "these." Like he's frustrated with them. Like when you get mad at your kids and you're talking to your wife and you say, these kids, not my kids, not my darling, but these kids. It's almost as though we want to step back from the responsibility of creating these little ones. I mean, we know they're ours, but we kind of take a step back. And God says, these people, they think the time is not now to build the temple. The time is not now? Why would they think that the time wasn't now? The reason they thought the time wasn't now is what we had said, was that because they were facing opposition. Has that ever happened to you? You started off, and then you faced some opposition, and thought, well, we faced some opposition. It must not be God's will. It must not be the right time. We have a list or a host of other reasons as to why now is not the time. Rough water does not mean that you're sailing in the wrong direction. Matter of fact, a lot of times when you're doing what God has called you to do, be certain that you're going to face opposition. When you're following Christ's direction for your life, you should feel more worried, I think, if things are going too easy than when you face opposition. And when you find yourself being obedient to God, when you find yourself following his leadings, and times begin to get tough, which they will, and it isn't easy anymore, and when the excitement of seeing maybe a dream, maybe God spoke to you about something that was really exciting, and that dream or that vision, the excitement or the emotionalism of that wears off, or he gives you a hope for a relationship and you're just believing that this is going to be something great, and that begins to wear off, and it seems hard, and things aren't going as planned, I want to encourage you, I think it's in your notes. If not, write it down. By God's grace and strength, I'd encourage you this morning, and encourage myself, take the hard right over the easy wrong. As you face these situations, say, God, with your power, enable me to choose the hard right over the easy wrong. See, it would be so easy to stop focusing on God and start focusing on myself. It's hard for the people of Israel to continue to build the temple, especially when they're facing opposition. And I don't want to trivialize that. Sometimes I can just say, oh, it was really hard for them, and we don't really get how hard it was for them. They weren't just sort of Samaritans standing on the side calling them names, like, oh, you'll never be able to build that wall, or you can't do that. It was so much more than that. They were stopping them at every turn, sending messages about them to the king. They were just doing so, making it incredibly difficult for them. And so I don't want to trivialize how hard it was for them. And for us, as God speaks to us or challenges us or talks to us about something, gives us a dream or a vision or something happens to us, and we know God's speaking to us about something, it can get very hard at times. You know, for us, it's easy to hold on to grudges when someone hurts us and humiliates us. But it's hard and right to forgive others as Christ forgave us. It's easy to give in to what our culture says we must have and end up in debt. But it's hard and right to live beneath our means so that we can be massively generous with other people. It can be easy to sit back and not make a difference with our life. Well, that looks kind of hard. I think I'll just sit here. The grace of God, let's do the hard right over the easy wrong. And this really is what Haggai came to do, to help God's people choose the hard right over the easy wrong. As we enter into this message, I want to encourage you this morning, ask yourself, is there some unfinished assignment in my life? A dream, a vision? Is there something that God has spoken to you about, a relationship, a sin, an attitude, an action? That you would say, if I'm honest, I'd have to say that I've been choosing the easy wrong over the hard right. And maybe you, like the Israelites, hit a roadblock in this, and things got hard, and you faced opposition. So you stopped, and you settled there. Could have been a month ago, a year ago. Could have been like the Israelites 14 years ago, where God placed something on your heart. Maybe you were excited about it, and you started out with great faith. You heard God say, go, or give, or do. But things got hard, so you stopped. And it's through this lens that I'd like us to look at our message today. There's something called the sigmoid curve. You've probably seen it. You may have seen it. You may not have. I think I got them to do a slide of it. Did you do a slide of it? Is it there? Is it the next slide? We can do it. There's not there. Oh, okay, never mind. Then I'll just tell you about it. Put on your imagination hats. But a sigmoid curve starts here. Imagine this is my line. And it goes up like this and comes down like this and then goes really high like this and half over. It's called the sigmoid curve. And often in life, we start off very excited about something. Very excited about something. The potential of it, the hope of it. Maybe what God has spoken to us about. And Israel started that way too. Man, if I could get back to Jerusalem, oh, I'd build that temple. Man, if only I could. And then came the time, and they said, okay, let's go. And 50,000 of them take off. Now things get hard. They start off in this little home, really excited, really thrilled. They're moving, man. They're moving. We're going up to Israel. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And we've oftentimes, God's spoken to us about something. We're excited. It's going great. But then the Samaritans come in. And this thing starts to go down and down and down. And it's discouraging. And we face opposition. And the Israelites, what they essentially did is they began at this bottom part. They began to build their home there. They began to set up shop there. And many times I have seen Christians set up shop right there in that dip. And they set up shop with this unfinished assignment still in their heart. And what we know and what God knew, but the Israelites couldn't really imagine at the time, is that when they pushed through that spot, what happens in the sigmoid curve starts here, goes down, but then it goes way up high. God had so much more for them. What we know and what God knew, we know because we can read it, and God knows because he knows everything, but what he knew and we know, and what they could not imagine is how much more God had in store for them once they came out of this dip. But it got hard, and so they went and built nice houses. They chose the easy wrong. Verses 3 to 5, it goes on, it says, then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. What does Haggai mean, your paneled houses? I mean, when I think of paneled houses, I think of like from the 1970s. Remember that paneling on the wood? It's not very luxurious. But in this states, he's talking about luxury houses. Now, they may not be luxury to our standards, but for them at that moment, it was a luxury house. And God is asking the question, is it right that you live in this luxury when you opt for the granite countertops and the crown molding, when God's house, the whole reason that you came here, is sitting unfinished? Is it right for you to set up shop in the dip when the task is left unfinished? And he's not saying you're not allowed to have nice things. Nice things are not bad. It's just as long as we have nice things and they don't have us. But they were putting their energy and their resources into building these houses for themselves. And God says, stop, Israel, stop, hold on, time out. Verse 5, he says, give careful thought to your ways. In light of your situation, the things God has spoken to you about here this morning, are you putting your comfort over his calling? Are you putting yourself before him? If I'm honest, I have to say I have. Because sometimes things are just a little scary. And they're a little hard for me. And by a little, I mean a lot hard. And a lot scary. And so like Israel, I have taken the easy wrong over the hard right. Have you done that? Or maybe more to the point, are you now? God goes on to say to them in verse 6, he says, you have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your full fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, but only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Modern translation, you're working so hard, but you still don't feel like you have anything. You have poured your life into some career and it just feels empty and hollow. You have more than you've ever had before, but you still don't feel satisfied. You entertain yourself, you go out, you go to movies, you eat, games, concerts, but there's still this longing. Give careful thought to your ways, God says. Are you putting your house ahead of God's house? Is there some unfinished business that God had led you to, had led you to do, but it's now been put on the shelf, and you're living in that little dip? See, the thing is, this really is why we were created. God has purposes, and he's got plans to lift them up and to bring glory to him. And when we step out of what God's calling is on us, from his voice speaking to us, it's like nothing else will really satisfy. And we may leave the unfinished business and build our houses in the dip. But there's this something, I think, that's missing. And that's what God's trying to say to Israel. You're not going to be satisfied until you actually take on that whole reason that you're here. And so God says to the Israelites, think about it. And he refocuses them. And he says, it's time to re-engage. And today for you, I would say to you, it's time to re-engage. And so God gives them direction. He says, listen to me here. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. Don't worry about the Samaritans. Just listen and follow what I'm telling you. And they say, it's going to be hard. They're going to hurl insults at us. They're going to stop our working. And it's going to stop. Here it is. Verse 7 and 8. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down the timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Give careful thought to your ways, he says again. Now here's what I want you to do. Three things. It's not rocket science. Israel, I'm not asking you to put a man on the moon. I'm very simply saying, and you can do this. Go up to the mountain. Bring down the timber. And build my house. Going up the mountain, it's hard. But we choose the hard right over the easy wrong. Bringing down the timber, that's hard work. But we choose the hard right over the easy wrong. And step by step, God tells them what to do. Step by step. One, two, three. Just start here. Just start going up the mountain. And the problem with us is that we want steps 4, 5, and 6 as well. We want it all laid out in front of us. Well, this is how it's all going to work. How's it all going to work? Who's going to pay for this? How long will it take? What if they reject me? What if they don't respond? What if it doesn't work like I think it's going to work? And I think God would be saying to them and to us, don't worry about 4, 5, and 6. Just do 1, 2, 3. The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, and I love this passage. It has helped me so much. It says this, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Every once in a while, I go camping. And there are certain things that I like about camping, and there are certain things that I hate about camping. And one of the things that I hate is in the middle of the night, when I wake up and I have to go to the bathroom. And you're warm in your sleeping bag, and it's wonderful. The campsite is quiet, but your body won't let you go back to sleep until you deal with this. So, reluctantly, I get a flashlight. I unzip the tent, trying not to wake the rest of the family. It always seems louder in the middle of the night. Bzzz, I unzip the tent. And everything is quiet, super quiet. And I flick on the light, and I shine it around to make sure that there are no cougars or bears there waiting for me to be a midnight snack. And I take my flashlight, and step by step, totally freaked out about some animal gonna eat me or something, I make my way to the washroom. I would just love a giant spotlight to come and light up the whole campsite that I would know that there's nothing waiting in the bushes for me, and I could just skip along to the washroom and it wouldn't be a problem. But I can't do that. And so I've got one option. Got a couple options, but I got one option. To follow my light step by step. Often God's word is the same. My word to you will take you one step at a time in the right direction. It will be a lamp unto your feet. I will give you steps 1, 2, and 3. Start here. Don't worry about steps 4, 5, and 6 just yet. You know, one of the things that you realize when you're walking with a flashlight is you get steps 4, 5, and 6, but the only way you get steps 4, 5, and 6 is when you've taken steps 1, 2, and 3. And God says, I will be your guide. So what do? You go up to the mountain. You bring down the timber, and you build the house. And this really is what living in the Spirit is like. This week, our staff meeting, as we met together and we were praying, we said, God, keep us in step with your Spirit. We don't want to run ahead. We don't want to fall behind. We don't want to build houses in the dip. In the elders' meeting this week, we prayed, keep Valley Church in step with your Spirit. And we may not know the whole giant end plan, but God, keep us in step with steps 1, 2, 3. And we want to see everything all laid out, but almost never does it happen like that. And so we set off on what God has been speaking to us about with the first step. And how do we get started on the thing that God has spoken to us about? How do we move forward after we've run into some opposition? And very simple. We go up to the mountain. We stop talking, and we start doing. Oh, but it was so hard last time. You don't know what happened to me last time. And this and that. And we can talk and talk ourselves right out of it. We like to complicate it. And I'd really just encourage you to start. Do something. Even today, just start. Go up to the mountain today. Make that phone call. Buy those flowers, whatever you need. Talk to that person. Open a savings account. I don't know what step 1 is for you. I don't know what unfinished assignment or dream or thing or issue that God has spoken to you about. But it's time to re-engage today. And we have no idea of the blessing of God that awaits us on the other side of obedience. What if God's speaking to me about making something right between another person and they don't respond well? Listen, our job is not about response. It's about being obedient. Outcome is God's responsibility. Our responsibility is obedience. Maybe there's a sin in your life that's been plaguing you and wrecking your life. And God's been speaking to you about it. And it's easy to keep it a secret. And it's hard to ask for help. Maybe your marriage has fallen apart, but you're putting on this facade like everything is okay. Putting on the disguise is easy, but the hard right is getting help. Maybe God's been calling you to serve in some way, and you've been sitting there trying to decide, is this God asking me to serve somewhere here? Well, I'm pretty sure it's not the devil calling you to serve. So it's probably God speaking to you. Devil's luring you into serving in the church. If there's some unfinished assignment in your life, don't make God raise up a Haggai to call you back. So wherever you are today, this is your word. It's time to re-engage God's call, God's direction. We're going to be obedient. We're going to take one step at a time. We're going to go up to the mountain and bring down the timber and start building the house. We're going to choose the hard right over the easy wrong. We won't worry and fret over the outcome. We're going to focus on our part, on being obedient. The time is now, Haggai said to Israel. The time is now to re-engage this. Valley Church, if God's been speaking to you, the time is now to re-engage. And I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray that if as I was speaking, God brought something to your mind, and you know it's probably plaguing you as you think about it, as we began to talk about it, just probably rose right up inside you. And I want to pray that you would have courage and strength, because these things, we stopped them for a reason. We didn't stop them because they were too easy. We stopped them because they were hard, because we faced opposition. And I want to pray that you would have strength and courage and Holy Spirit boldness to walk through and push through that dip, that you would re-engage in that. And this morning, you might be here, and maybe you've heard God's voice in a different way. Maybe you've never really said okay to God's voice. You know he's prompted you, you know he's poked you, you know he's brought friends around you. And he wants you to come into his family. And he's been calling you. And you think this is going to be too hard. What are my friends going to say? What are my colleagues at work going to say? What is my family going to say? It's hard. And so you've just stopped there. Today is your day. And as a follower of Jesus, I just want to tell you that you have no idea at this point the blessing of walking with God when you say yes to him. And I want to encourage you this morning. And if you're at that place where you're just ready to say, yeah, okay, I'm ready. I know there are going to be difficult times, but I'm ready. I want to pray with you too. And so I'm going to pray a prayer, and if that's where you're at, I just encourage you to pray that in your heart. And then I'm going to pray for the rest of you. If there are dreams and things that God's spoken to you about, that you've put on the shelf and you began just to live in that dip. So let's pray. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus for the first time, I just encourage you to pray in your heart something similar to this. Lord, I thank you that you've called me. I thank you that you're calling me. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't give up on me. And Father, today, as maybe I have not responded to your call before, today I want to. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. I thank you that the blood that was shed on the cross for me covers my sin, takes away my sin. I thank you that when I receive that forgiveness, when I receive that offer, Lord, that I become a new creation, that I become part of your family. And so, Lord, I know that there are a lot of unforeseen things in my future. I don't know how my family will respond. I don't know how my colleagues will respond. I don't know how my friends will respond. But, Father, this is a first step towards what you're calling me. And so, God, I want to come into your family. I want to be your child, Lord. And I thank you that as I pray this, you receive me. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that's prayed that prayer, God, would you surround them with some wonderful people to encourage and pray for them, to build them up, to bring discipling people into their lives, Lord Jesus. An exciting journey of following you. And Father, I pray for people here today. God, if you have spoken to them in the past about things, and Lord Jesus, maybe their dreams, maybe their visions that you have given them, God. Lord, that things got hard and they just sort of put them on the shelf and they just sort of set up shop in the dip. Lord, I would really pray for them right now. God, I just pray that you would give them courage. Lord, I pray you'd give them strength. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just embolden them in Jesus' name. To step out and to step on, to do the thing that you have called them to do. I know they're going to face opposition. They know they're going to face opposition. But God, there is so much waiting for them. When we follow your direction, when we follow your lead, God, there's so much waiting for us. So God, I pray, give us courage to do what you've called us to do. And Father, there might be some hard things that have to happen in certain people's lives. Lord, you may want to do some things in people's lives where there needs to be some repenting. There needs to be some hard phone calls or coffees. And Lord, maybe people have been avoiding it or not wanting to go there. But God, again, for them, I pray, give them courage. Give them strength. Lord, help us just to go up to the mountain. We don't have to figure it all out, Lord Jesus. We just have to follow you step by step. God, you said you'd be a lamp unto our feet, and we're going to trust that you're going to do that, God. We're going to go up to the mountain today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being here today. Enjoy the sunshine, and enjoy the coffee, and go up to the mountain. Have a great day.